Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Obviously, huge story in the last 2 days has been the announcement by Vladimir Putin of a partial mobilization that will begin immediately, could drop as many as 300,000 troops. And there's been some talk about not bluffing, about potential use of nuclear weapons. And then there were reports of a lot of outgoing flights from Russia and a lot of protests overnight as well. We want to talk a little bit with Professor Matthew Schmidt from the University of New Haven here on Brian and Company. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. I'm well.
Listen, let's just start with your thoughts on this mobilization announcement. And because I talked about both sides. I mean, it's a clear, you know, ratcheting up of things. But, you know, some people have said to me that, you know, well, they don't have uniforms, training facilities and weapons for these soldiers. And on the flip side, you know, is this a sign of weakness? I just want to know your general thoughts on this next leg in this conflict.
Mobilizing 300,000 men isn't the issue. Producing a few thousand trained, competent young officers who can lead offensive operations out of the 300,000 fast enough, that's the issue. And I don't think Russia is able to do that for the reasons that you laid out, but mostly because morale is terrible and because it takes a lot longer to train competent officers. And what we've seen in some of the conscription notices is there's sort of an asterisk at the bottom saying, you know, we're going to give you this training, but in certain cases, you may be deployed before your training is completed, which is a very bad sign for the Russian military.
So it's a sign. Do you interpret it as sort of a desperation move?
Yeah, he has to do this in order to continue to compete on the battlefield. He's taken enormous unexpected losses. He does not have a supply trail to deal with that in terms of being able to bring back in the equipment, the trucks, the weapon systems at the highest level that he has, because so much of it has been destroyed. And he doesn't have the chain to continue to replace officers and soldiers fast enough. Right. So this is going to take months if you do it right. If he chooses to do it wrong, which I think is what's going to happen here, then you're going to have a bunch of scared, incompetent officers and soldiers in the field, which is worse than not having them.
So, and then there's this issue, and we've talked many times about the option of targeted nuclear weapons and so on and so forth. He says it's not a bluff. Does that mean it is a bluff?
I think there's a non-trivial chance that he might use weapons of mass destruction, either on the battlefield or, you know, outside in places like Poland or Romania, where we're supplying a lot of Ukraine with its weapons. But non-trivial means if it was 1% chance, you know, 7 months ago, it's five times that, which means it's only a 5% chance now. So you have to take it seriously, but I'm not losing sleep over it.
Right.
Putin is not irrational, and there are really no good reasons for using these weapons. The minute he uses these weapons, he's lost both his military. He'd lose his.
Why do you say that? Why do you say that?
Because it would bring in NATO troops in a real sense, and he can't even compete against Ukrainian troops. So he would lose that source of his power, and he would be dethroned in Moscow one way or the other.
Well, that's really what I get to is that there's two different responses. Say they throw in a bunch of new soldiers, and that's one thing, you know, really swaying the balance in terms of personnel. Then there's the issue of weapons of destruction. What would the West's response be? We know there's very little appetite in this country to send our own men and women anywhere unless we're directly threatened. So do you believe that there would be an absolute response from NATO on the ground in a conflict?
We have to, right? So if a NATO country is attacked, then you engage Article 5, which is what.
Right, but they're not. Ukraine's not in NATO.
No, but I guess you're right. If he's doing it in NATO, but we've already said that a use of weapons of mass destruction would elicit a response. We said that earlier in the war, but I'm suggesting that he would use something more likely in order to stop supplies coming in from Poland.
Huh.
So I think there would be a response in any case to any kind of chemical attack. I think a chemical attack, we'd probably spend a lot of time studying to see if it really happened, but certainly a nuclear attack would be responded to.
And now these protests and people leaving the country, are those just media-generated stories, or is there something real going on in Russia?
No, that's real. You have travel companies that are saying, do you want to travel to Turkey or Armenia, which are some of the countries that Russia is still allowed to travel to without visas, or click here anywhere you can. So people are fleeing as fast as they can. I'm curious to see the regime's response to this. So far, they haven't tried to stop it. So we just have to wait and see.
And the protests, the crackdown, it was 1,500 plus reported arrests, several hundred in Moscow. And there's all this debate about how much information the country gets. And then we had reports for months that the country's actually starting to support the war more and more. And I don't really have I don't know if you do either, but I don't have a keen sense of what the sentiment really is within the country.
I view mobilization mostly as an attempt to control the narrative inside Russia. So the information is getting out that the war is going poorly for Russia. The information is getting out that Russian troops are doing terrible things and that they're suffering incredible losses. People are calling back home, these kinds of things. And what Putin has to do now is match those stories with some kind of dramatic action, which is mobilization, in order to say to the population, yes, those things are happening, but it's because the West is causing them, not because little Ukraine is causing them, and now we have to mobilize. And so this is an attempt for him to deal with the fact that information is getting out and that large chunks of the Russian public now understand more of the reality.
We're talking with Matthew Schmidt, professor of political science at the University of New Haven, here on Brian and Company. So what's the next step? You said it could be months before there's any, demonstrable difference about the number of people on the ground in Ukraine. I mean, what happens with the offensive with Ukraine? I mean, what's the trajectory in the near term?
Well, I think that the expected move from Ukraine is to push ahead with more offensive operations while they can, to take advantage of time. And you have to understand that in this part of the world, winter is already heading in October. And so there's a limited window to do certain kinds of operations. And so the Ukrainian military is, not as all weather as the American military is in some ways. And so there, I think you're going to see a continued push of offensive operations there. But it's unclear if they'll try to continue to push in the east and move down and try to recapture Donetsk and Luhansk, or if they'll continue operations in the south. Russian troops are still mostly deployed in the south right now. So I just don't know, right? That's up to Ukrainian command and what kind of tactical intelligence that they have on the ground.
All right, Professor, as always, I appreciate the time, especially on short notice. We really wanted to go to you after all this news flow in the last 36 hours. Thanks so much.
Anytime.
All right, Professor Matthew Schmidt, University of New Haven.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.